The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today on this fourth Sunday of Advent. We're so glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the friendship register and place and pass it down your pew. I know we have some visitors with us today. We're glad you're here. We invite you to give us your name and address so we can give you another word of welcome to our church. We're glad to see everyone today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin this morning. Notice that I am planning a Holy Land trip in June of 2020. This past week, I was working with my rep on a possible itinerary for that trip. This is for youth and adults, so be thinking about that, and then when I have specific information about a specific date and price, I'll let you know. But I really believe you don't have to go with me. I'm not trying to get everybody to go with me, but I really believe that every Christian who has the time and the resources, and I know some people, you just can't. I understand that, or maybe you're physically not able. But if you've got the time or the resources, you ought to make at least one trip to Israel. It will change your life. It will change the way you read the Bible. So this will be a great opportunity to do that together in June of 2020. Notice in your bulletin information about how to give your offering to make it count for 2018, and notice that we're a little behind going into December. So think about and pray about what the Lord would have you give, and then make sure you give it before the end of the year if that's what you'd like to do. Notice the schedule for our services. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. I still can't believe that, but it's true. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and we will have a wonderful service planned for you. 5 o'clock, we'll have communion and candle lighting and lots of other things. So make sure you plan to be here at 5 o'clock. You might want to come a little early to get a good seat tomorrow afternoon for the Christmas Eve service. And then next Sunday, there will be no Sunday school but worship at 10:30. So we'd love to see you here next Sunday at 10:30. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. Invited you last Sunday to be praying for the family of Mark Day, that's Aaron Day's brother who passed away, and then this past week heard the news of the passing of Ruby Lanning, that's Ed Lanning's mother. So be in prayer for Ed and for the whole family during this time. Also ask your prayers for Ellen Holt. Ellen's had a rough week. She fell and broke several ribs and then had to have major surgery to remove some blood from that fall. So she is at Moses Cone right now. She's recovering well, doing really well for what she's been through. And they're hoping to move her to rehab at Twin Lakes, possibly even tomorrow. So be in prayer for Ellen Holt and for her recovery. Phil Mosley had knee replacement surgery this past week and came home, so be in prayer for his full recovery. Ask your prayers for Steve Harris, that's John and Nancy's son. He has cancer and will start chemo in January, so be in prayer for Steve and for John and Nancy as well. Eleanor Cook is not at home. You know, the bulletin's not always totally accurate. She was at home this morning before she came to church, and now she's here with us. So, Eleanor, we're so glad to have you. Let's welcome Eleanor back. She's so happy to be here, and we're happy you're here, Eleanor. Continue to pray then for Jeff McAdams. He started radiation treatments this past week, and Hazel Guthrie started chemo this past week, so be in prayer for them as well. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention today? Let me give a word of praise then. I'm going to invite the handbell choir to go ahead and get in place. And as they're coming, let me say a word of great praise to Barbara and our handbell choir and our chancel choir. If you were here last Sunday night, of course, they joined with choirs from the Methodist and Baptist churches, but did they not do a great job? That was just a wonderful. Y'all are so wonderful. Now the pressure's on. No, we don't mean it like that at all. We are so thankful for all of our music ministry. So Let's turn our hearts to the Lord in worship as we hear the Christmas bells are ringing. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us worship God through Jesus, our Savior, who is the Word made human flesh, who came to dwell among us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You and praise You this day for the gift of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You that You sent Him as the light of the world, and that the kind of light that He is different from all other lights. In fact, His light is so great that the darkness cannot overcome it. Help us to believe that, to have faith in You, even in the darkness in our own lives, to trust in You and to know that You are here with us as we worship You this day through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now confess before the Lord our sinfulness using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Holy God, Sometimes it seems special holiday seasons often make us feel lonely. We miss those who are no longer with us. Some of us miss some of the enjoyable times of days gone by. And sometimes we begin to feel sorry for ourselves. We forget that you are right here with us, exactly where you have always been. Forgive us for all the ways that we neglect you, and forget that this time of year is about how you have already shown your love for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In that song we just sang, Joy to the World, isn't that a great song? Wonderful song. And it talks about not just what Jesus did in his first coming, but what he will do in his second coming, so that he will redeem the whole world. Far as the curse is found, sin's curse affects all of us and all of creation, everywhere we see and look. And Jesus' coming has come to redeem all of creation, far as the curse is found. So the Christmas story is not just a narrow little story. It's a huge story that encompasses all of creation. So the good news of the gospel is that through Jesus' coming and death and resurrection, we are redeemed. Indeed, the entire creation will be. Thanks be to God. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now as we light the Advent candle. If they remember, they'll be bringing their joy gift offering boxes, and if you have one, you can place that in the offering as well. So children, come forward. All right, it's great to see all of you. Got some more coming. We've been lighting candles during Advent, this special time of year that we prepare for Jesus coming, his birth in the manger. How many candles are lit? Three. How many more we got to light? How many we're going to light today? That's right, you got it. We're going to light this candle over here. Told you that there are four Sundays of Advent. We think about four in the outer circle. This one right here. This candle reminds us of those who appeared up in the sky and told the shepherds that Jesus had been born. Who was it that appeared up in the sky? The angels. So it's the angels' candle of love. Okay? If you've got your box, I'll go ahead and take that. Okay. All right. Does everybody want to help light this candle? We got room for everybody. That leaves the one candle in the middle. You know what that one is? The Christ candle. Okay, just put, y'all come on. Just put one hand. Okay, why don't you come around this way so that you can come in here. Harley, you want to come over here? Y'all can come up here and just put one hand. Let's let him scoot in the middle there. Everybody got a hand on there? Harley? A finger? A finger. Finger as good as a hand. Okay. All right. Ready? Let's sing our song, okay? Light of Jesus, light of Jesus, show the way, shine in us forever, shine in us forever, this we pray, this we pray. One, two, three, blow. I knew you were waiting for that. Okay, great. Now, we've got one candle left, the Christ candle. We're going to light that tomorrow on Christmas Eve. I know some of you might be traveling or going somewhere else, but if you can be here, come and we'll light that candle together, okay? Thanks so much for helping. Now there's no children's church today, so you can head back to your seats. Watch for the cord here. There you go. Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So if you'll look in your pew Bibles, page 977, follow along with me as I read. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word together. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this very special time of year and how it turns our attention to Jesus. But for these moments, Lord, help us to set aside all of the things that are on our minds, things yet that we have to do and prepare, and help us to think about you and focus on you as we hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Look with me then at John chapter 1. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, everyone likes to hear a love story, right? When I officiate at a wedding, I enjoy telling part of the love story of that particular couple. Just recently, I heard a love story from a number of years ago from Jim and Bev Abbott. Do you mind if I tell your story? I knew you wouldn't. They attended the same church as the young couple. Both of them, and if I don't get it exactly right, just play along. Both of them sat in the balcony, one on the one side and one on the other. Well, Bev came home from church, and her mother said to Bev, "Did you notice Jim looking at you today? Or maybe, did you notice the way Jim was looking at you today?" And about that time, the phone rang, and Jim was calling for a date. They went out on that date. They fell in love. They got married and just recently celebrated 60 years together. That's quite a love story. Well, some of you have love stories to tell. They're always interesting to hear. Sometimes, you know, they don't always turn out like they all lived happily ever after, but, you know, sometimes they do. Well, we love to hear love stories, and we love to hear love songs, you know, on Sirius XM radio that some of you have in your cars. There's a station that just plays love songs 24/7, you know, all the time. Well, the American Film Institute chose the 100 greatest romantic movies of all time. I wonder how many of these you could guess. I'll go through the top 10. I will confess, I knew 9 of them. I didn't know number 10. Number 10 is City Lights. It was Charlie Chaplin's greatest film. I'm not a big Charlie Chaplin fan, but maybe some of you like it. Number 9, Love Story. Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal. Number 8, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 7, Dr. Zhivago. Number 6, The Way We Were. You want me to sing the song? No. Number 5, An Affair to Remember. Number 4, Roman Holiday. Number 3, West Side Story. Want to guess what number 2 is? 2 is...
I'm asking a question.
Number 2 is Gone with the Wind. You want to guess what number 1 is? Casablanca. Yeah. Now, some of you are sitting, some of you younger people are, I don't know any of those. Well, for old people, they're great love stories, great romantic stories, but I'm going to tell you today the greatest love story the world has ever known. We have been looking at what the world needs now. Today we come to what the world needs now is love. And is that not true? This world needs love. People need to know what love really is. They need to know that they are loved. So many people don't have that from anybody in their lives. Well, I'm going to tell you about the greatest love story, and that is the love that God has shown to this world. You look at the scripture I just read in John chapter 1. It starts out, in the beginning. Is that a coincidence? Where did that come from? The book of Genesis, you remember? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, in the beginning, this time it's in the beginning, was the Word. God's speech, God's Word. But who is this Word? If you're reading this for the very first time, you don't know. You know that this Word is in the beginning. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's just God talking. But then you find out, no, this is a person. This person was with God and was God. And you keep on reading and you find out this person is identified with God. This person is creator. Nothing was made apart from him. And then you come down to verse 14 and you get your big clue about who it is. This Word became human flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. This Word is Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent, the one who willingly came and didn't just come to see us, but to become one of us, to become real human flesh and dwell among us, tabernacle among us. And then we really know in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but this one, this one and only Son, this Word, is the one who is in unique relationship with the Father and has made him known. So the way we get to know God is by looking at Jesus. Now, the question I keep coming back to with this love story is, why? God made all things. God made human beings. Human beings turned away from God, sinned against God, went their own way. At that point, I always hesitate to say if I were God, because it's almost silly to even say that. But I think in my mind, if I went to all that trouble and they just turned and walked away from me, I think I'd turn and walk away from them. But God did not do that. God continued to pursue us. And in fact, God gave us himself. God gave us the very best God has to give. God said, not only I love you, but here I am and I'm going to show you. But why? Why would God do that? And there's only one simple answer, and that is the word love. Why? Just God chose to love. Later in John's Gospel, John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, this is not the kind of love that you normally hear about. It's not the kind of love it's normally sung about in love songs or in romantic movies. All of that is wonderful and nice, but it's not eternal. It's not everlasting. Have you noticed that in Advent, there are four themes that we celebrate every year, but we as Christians redefine each of those themes? Hope. Normally we talk about hope like, well, I hope such and such happens. Well, that's not what we're talking about as Christians. We're talking about something that God has already done, and we know the rest will come true. Peace. What about peace? We think, well, I hope people stop fighting, and I hope there's not so much fighting in this world. Well, that's true. But as Christians, peace is not just the absence of fighting. It's shalom. It's the full wholeness and well-being that God wants us to have in our life. What about joy? Lots of times we talk about joy like, I'm so joyful today because, you know, my team won, or such and such happened, or I got a good grade, or, you know, but that's not deep abiding joy. As Christians, we think of joy not just as mere happiness because of events in our lives, but the deep abiding eternal joy that God puts in our hearts. And the same thing with love. We talk about love as romantic feelings, you know, I fell in love, all these things that could end up being temporary. But with God, it's eternal love, love that is everlasting, love that never fails. God is truly the greatest model of what love really is. Remember, somebody asked Jesus, there are 613 commands in the Hebrew Scriptures. Which one's most important? Kind of a trick question. I mean, how can you go through the Bible and say, well, you know, this part of the Bible is more important than this? No, God gave it all. Isn't it all important? Jesus said, well, I'll tell you, there's one that stands above them all. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then I'll give you number two. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, love is the most important thing in life. Rick Warren, in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, talks about three lessons of love that I want to share with you this morning because I think they're very meaningful. He says the best use of life is love. The best use of our life is love. Relationships really are the most important thing and really ought to be a priority for us. Many times they're not. We get busy. We get caught up in school or work or responsibilities or to-do lists, and we let relationships slide. But they really ought to be the most important thing. You know, I've been with a number of dying people. And as people know that they're passing from this life to the next, most of the time they don't ask to see their diplomas or their financial statements or their awards. They want to see the people that they love and who love them. They want to feel their touch and hear their voices. The best use of life is love. Secondly, the best expression of love is, it's a four-letter word, very simple, T-I-M-E. The best expression of love is time. Now, relationships can be messy, and they may take a lot of effort, but they're worth it. And the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. I don't really care. You can tell me a lot, oh, I love you, but I don't have time for you. Well, you know, those words of love don't mean a lot unless you have T-I-M-E for me, unless you have time for me. Interesting, I talk with couples before they get married and do premarital counseling. I usually talk with them about Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. If you haven't read that, I invite you to go and read it. One of those is quality time. One of the love languages is quality time. And I tell them, quality time is when you give the other person your full, undivided attention and you communicate, you talk. So I ask couples, do you ever spend quality time together? Oh, yeah, we spend quality time together all the time. Just last night, we sat on the couch together and watched a game. And the other night, we sat there and we watched a movie and we talked about it. And, well, that's all great. You're spending time together. That's good. You're not apart. But that's not quality time. Quality time, one example I use with them is when a young mom is playing with her toddler. And she's sitting on the floor, and he's sitting on the floor, and she's rolling the ball, looking at him and rolling the ball. Here's the ball, catch. Okay, roll it back to mama. Come on, roll. And the two of them are playing. Then the phone rings, and she starts talking on the phone. Now, she's still rolling the ball, but it's no longer quality time. Why? Because her attention is divided between who she's talking on the phone and her son. We need to be willing to give the people we love our undivided attention, give them the gift of our quality time. Now, I don't know about you, but if you think about it, how many people in your life do that for you? Not very many. And how often? Not very often. That is a great gift that you can give to the people that you love. Show them that you love them by spending time with them in a very special way. And then the third lesson is the best time to love is now. You know, I was just thinking the other day, coming to the end of the year, and maybe it's a sign of my age, but I was reflecting back on this past year. I was thinking about changes in my family's life in this past year, changes in some of your lives in this past year, changes in our church, and think about, you know, a lot has changed in some people's lives from January 1st till now. And, you know, it made me think, well, I wonder what's going to happen next year. I don't really want to know, you know, because some of those changes might be changes that would bring sorrow into my life. The best time to love is right now, because that's the only thing you have. Only thing you have is this moment. So show love to those that you love right now. Don't put it off. Don't think, oh, they're always going to be there, because they're not. You know, it is only human for us to take each other for granted. You know, it's just part of being human, and you know, we almost can't avoid it. I understand that. But every now and then, stop and don't let yourself do that. Stop and think, you know, somebody in my life, I ought not take them for granted. When was the last time I told them exactly what they meant to me and how much I love them? And sometimes for some of us, that's hard to do. Some of us find it hard to get those words out. Well, if you can't get the words out of your mouth, write them down. You know, send them in a card or a text or whatever. You know, get the words out some way to let other people know that you love them. God came to you and said, I love you, and I'm going to show you. This is what we read in 1 John chapter 4. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The love that God has given us should warm our hearts, change our hearts so much that we then show it to other people and love one another. I want to tell you in closing just one other love story. It was 200 years ago tomorrow night on Christmas Eve that a song was performed for the first time in public. It was a song, Silent Night. The way that song came about, Joseph Moore was an assistant priest in an area in Austria that's now, I understand, a skiing area in the Austrian Alps. Wasn't back then. But he wrote a poem, six verses, that we know as Silent Night. Then he asked Franz Gruber to compose the music, and they performed it together for the very first time on a Christmas Eve service 200 years ago. For their particular church, their organ was in poor condition, so Joseph Moore played the guitar, and they sang, and I understand that that guitar that he used to play Silent Night for the very first time is now on exhibit in the Franz Gruber Museum today. But they both sang, and then the choir came in on the refrain, Silent Night, Holy Night, and then it ended, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, Sleep in Heavenly Peace. You know, that's not just a wonderful song that we sing on Christmas Eve. It's the truth that God brought Jesus into our lives because of his love so that we could know his peace and so that we could learn to love each other in a way that we could not in any other way. So let us rejoice today. God's love has changed our life. God's love is changing this world, and what this world needs today is to see God's love enacted in us. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful love that you have given us freely in Jesus Christ. It's not something that we earn or work for. It's a free gift you have given us. So we pray that you would bless us as we continue to seek to find ways to show your love to others. Lord, what this world needs to see, not just a bunch of Christians talking or shouting. The world needs to see a bunch of Christians loving. Loving each other and loving everybody in the world. Not just the people that are like us, but people who are different too. Because we thank you that you came as the light for all people. So Lord, help us to turn toward you and receive you and believe in you and know that you are the love that we need in our hearts. We pray in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you look at your bulletin, we're going to change the order just a little bit. We're going to have two songs now. First, from our youth choir, they're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And then after that, our chancel choir is going to sing. And notice that for the anthem, when the chancel choir sings, there's a part for us to sing as well. Wherever it says choir and congregation, we join in singing as well. So let us rejoice in the Christmas story now in song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. You know what that means? Glory to God in the highest. Let us bring glory to God now in the gifts that we present to God's glory. Lord, we bring you all our alleluias from the depths of our hearts, thanking you for the love that you have shown us unmistakably in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the greatest gift and the greatest love story this world has ever known that we see in you. Lord, we pray that you'd take these gifts now to help other people be touched by your love so that they would feel and know that they are loved by you as well. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Best time to love is now. Now is the time. Now, I know that you've probably got gifts and presents for people you love that you've got planned for the next few days. That's great. Do all that. Enjoy all that. Show your love through all that. But after all that's over, think of one way you can show your love to somebody else. Let somebody else, maybe that you don't have a present for, know that you love them and that God loves them. Now, as you go from this place, may the love of God warm your hearts, surround you with a sense of His presence, a sense of His comfort during this holy time of year, so that you may experience once again the love of God in a very special way. Amen.